Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. And with me in the studio once again, Laura Padgett and Pat Battleman of the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, a transportation planning agency that includes government officials from three counties, New Hanover, Brunswick, and Pender counties. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using Coastline HQR. And Laura Padgett, before we went to break, you were talking about some super high tech, possibly even still in the sci-fi category right now in terms of transportation options.
Well, I think there's a whole bunch of things like that, from super high rail to Google's self-driving cars to a system that I have seen a mock-up of that actually elevates individual cars. It runs on an a mathematical algorithm and uses electromagnetic energy. It takes up very little room. It's much less expensive to build than roads.
Is there actually a municipality that has something like this in place?
Not yet.
It's still on the drawing board.
These things take decades. For somebody to have the guts to move it forward, and as I say, to think out of the box, there are people inventing things like that. And in many cases, proving that they can work. There's more than one example of that type of transportation system. But at this point, state DOTs and federal transportation officials have really not been willing to fund that type of an experiment to see if it works.
And Pat Battleman, coming from Leland, there are all kinds of ideas in this short-term plan that this Citizens Advisory Committee came up with in terms of easing congestion, especially with the Causeway Bridge construction going on. One of the ideas was a ride-sharing program, and I looked for a commercial one just to see how practical this really was. And I found one company that has Winston-Salem listed as a possible market, but they don't actually have anything happening there yet. So Wilmington, I would think, would be well down the list. What are we doing to ease congestion and help commuters now?
In a few weeks, the Wave Transit's going to be unveiling, or not unveiling, but promoting, marketing the North Carolina Rideshare Program. And that's why Leland has started to create, we're going to be the first ones to have park and ride lots in the Leland area. We're going to have one at Brunswick Forest, one at the New Town Hall, and one at a Food Lion on Mount Misery Road. So that we're hoping that this will be the beginning of getting people used to using that mode of getting back and forth to work. That is rideshare. The other thing we've done to make it more interesting and more acceptable to some people who say, well, yes, but what happens if I have to get home and I've you know, made that commitment? Well, we're going to have an emergency ride home program as well.
And what is that? What's involved in that?
That would be as you are signed up through the North Carolina Rideshare program. If you have an emergency, you'll be able to call Wave Transit, let them know that you've got to get home, and they'll make arrangements to get you home.
So if I park my car in Brunswick Forest, I'm hopping on a bus that will take me...
This is the rideshare program, the carpooling program.
Sorry, going back to the park and ride that you were saying is getting ready to kick off.
Right.
Park my car in Brunswick Forest. Mm-hmm. I get on a bus to come over the bridge to Wilmington.
You would get into a automobile.
This is part of the rideshare program.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I
guess I'm not explaining it very well. But you would be paired as you go onto the site. You sign up. You'll be paired with other people who are going to the same destination,
Hence the emergency option in the event that your carpool people aren't ready
to
leave
and
the
that
same time.
There is no won't be an extra charge for that.
That's great. Dan from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Dan?
Hello?
Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Yes, I've got a question about what the schedule is, the update on the plans for putting in a median on Route 17. You know, I know they put in partial one there around the Walmart on Porter's Neck area, but what the other plans are. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Dan. Laura Padgett.
I don't know the exact completion date for that. I know it's an active project, so I'm speculating 6 or 8 months to finish that. The Market Street Corridor Plan calls for a median the entire length of Market Street.
And Janet,
that's a few years away.
A few years out.
Yeah.
Janet from Ivanhoe, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. The question I have is monorails. Have they considered, maybe you did touch on this lately, but monorails have been in existence at amusement parks, Disney World and other places for decades, and they seem to be working and moving people from one end to another. And I was just wondering if that was ever considered, monorails.
It gets considered a lot. I don't know that there are any real successful monorails, and they're fairly expensive to build. And they are buses. The system that I mentioned would have individual cars, so people could ride two or three or one at a time, and basically use a code to tell the vehicle where to stop next, and you wouldn't have to stop at everybody else's stop. A monorail is kind of an elevated bus line. I know there's one in Detroit called the People Mover, but and my son lives in Detroit, so I have seen that. And the times I've seen it, it isn't being used as much as you might think. There's another one outside of Dallas in Texas, and that still lacks something that would get people to use it a lot.
Janet, thanks for your call.
Thanks for your question.
Dallas and Detroit were once again talking about much larger metropolitan areas. And when we talk about a monorail, it sounds like something like that would be a long way off. So once again, going back to the 2040 plan and what's really realistic and on the docket in the near long term, if that's not too much of an oxymoron, what are we talking about?
I think what we've seen so far at the MPO, and chime in, Pat, with, mm-hmm. with your memory of the presentations, there will be some new roads on new facilities. There will be a lot of improvements to public transportation in terms of shelters and things like that, and bus rapid transit routes, which would be express routes. There are there's a lot of intersection and things like that, improvements, some bike and pedestrian. Bear in mind that the new state funding plan doesn't separate money for public transportation, so those projects have to be ranked when you get down to the funding portion, in with other roads and projects. But that plan also has to include rail, ferries, the port, and we haven't seen all of those reports yet. The staff and the citizen advisory and expert committees are still working on it.
One of the recommendations from this citizen advisory committee was to hire a full-time TDM coordinator. Pat Battleman, what does TDM stand for?
That's the Transportation Demand Management Committee where
and what would
considering
what would this person do?
Try to pull all of this together, because we have a very tiny staff, and when you're talking about communicating with the employers and those who would use these systems that we're trying to come up with, you really benefit from having one individual who's in charge of kind of pulling all of this together and keeping it organized, keeping it marketed. And there's a lot to it, and that's why a coordinator would really be helpful.
We do have one person on the MPO staff who spends a good deal of her time mm-hmm. on TDM, and at one point we did have a dedicated yeah. person on the MPO staff. But for whatever reasons, the time was not right, and it didn't work well. To some extent, there were expectations from the state level that were not going to work here, because we're not Raleigh, we're not Charlotte, we're not that big, we're not that dense yet.
If I may add, the members of the TDM subcommittee include people who are with the large employers the schools, the colleges. So the input that they've been bringing to these sessions that we've had has been fantastic. How to get the students back and forth to Wilmington and on and off campus. Same with the hospital, same with PPD. We've talked about flexible work hours. Mm-hmm. We've talked about, commuting from home, or rather working from home. So there's a lot of elements that we've brought into this TDM process.
We heard from John from Wilmington wanted to reply to an earlier caller. He says he cut through UNCW on a bike path, and beyond Campus Road, a driver almost ran him over while turning left. John says he didn't see me. He was on his phone. Once again, safety for bicyclists, is that part of what you're looking at when you're looking at developing more routes for people on bicycles?
Even with off-road bike paths, there will still be conflicts when people cross the street. And unfortunately, I have some personal experience with tragedies involving bicyclists and cars. And the attitude of drivers has to change. I'm sorry, but people on their phones when they're driving are a hazard, whether it's to other vehicles, to people walking, crossing the street, bicyclists, et cetera. But driver behavior is a big issue, and I don't have a fix for that.
You're listening to Coastline.
Maybe Pat does.
No. We're talking about transportation in southeastern North Carolina, some of the problems that officials are grappling with, what might be on the docket in the future. If you have a question, we have just a few minutes left in this show. Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send emails to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using coastlinehqr. Pat Battleman, the Causeway construction project is something that has died down in the news a little bit. I think commuters are kind of getting used to it, traveling from Brunswick to New Hanover County and back again. But what are some of the issues? Do you have an update for us on how that project is going?
It seems to be moving along pretty well from what I see. And I cross that causeway almost every single day. And I think the problem is when we have bad weather, that's when you better be ready. Something's going to happen. And it's another reason when we were talking about being on a cell phone and then hitting a bicyclist. Well, that's why we need to get them in a carpool or a bus.
And speaking of talking on a cell phone, as we all know, there is a Facebook page that talks about what's
correct
happening on the Leland area causeway, how bad traffic might be, what you might encounter mm-hmm in terms of delays. Thousands of people are now members of this Facebook page. Do people post to the page while they're driving?
Apparently so. They may have stopped for a moment in traffic and they think, oh, I'm just sitting here. So the temptation's there. They grab the phone, they tweet something or they send something into the Facebook page, and that's not what we want, but that's what happens. It's unfortunate, but
are you finding now that page has become a useful outlet, a good way of communicating with people in this group?
It really has. I think it started off when the work first began. It seemed like there was a traffic jam every single day, and people were really, really frustrated. And I went on to that Facebook page once it was created, and I saw these comments, and I thought, oh, my goodness. So I actually did get on it myself a few times, and there were some questions about what was happening, when it was going to – what was changing, what was needed to make it easier. And a lot of that feedback was helpful for NCDOT. They made a lot of great improvements now to make the markings on the road easier to see. And they really, I have to give them a lot of credit. They did come back and work hard to make it a little bit easier for folks. But we still have the traffic jams when the weather's bad or when there's an accident. And
Does driver skill have any, does that factor in at all to how well things go along that very congested area now? For instance, people who have a certain theory about the best way to merge versus those who have other theories about how to merge. Is that a factor or is it all capacity?
I think bad driving habits is a significant factor. I do. I think that a lot of these drivers grew up with PlayStations, and they were used to playing these games, and everything is very, very rapid. And so then they get behind the wheel of the car, and they think, okay, you know, how do I get ahead? How do I maneuver? You know, and I think that's part of it.
So what would you advise people to do when they're getting on and off that area in Leland that's under construction?
It's just common sense, really. I mean, you just have to learn to be patient. You have to be alert. Don't look at what's going on in the construction zone. You know, try to keep enough space between you and the person in front of you. It's just all common sense things that we learned in driving school, really.
And
driver distraction is probably the mm-hmm. primary cause
That's
of
right.
accidents.
So
if
hang
you're
up
paying
the phone.
Attention, even if you're not a skilled race car driver, if you're paying attention, you're probably going to be much better off than not.
Very briefly, there's a third crossing over the Cape Fear River that's
yes.
slated to open when?
We don't know.
Best estimates?
Well, they are 18 months into a three-year process on the environmental impact statement, which is a decision-making document for the route of the bridge.
So we will, and that is the Dan Cameron Bridge that we're talking
right.
about.
Mm-hmm. Maybe 2018, beginning of 2018.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the Cape Fear crossing
yeah.
south.
The former
Different
Skyway.
Road.
No, that's the fourth crossing.
Okay.
But the third?
Yeah. I think, well, they're looking at late 2017, probably early 2018.
That's all the time we have for this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Pat Battleman and Laura Padgett of the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who called in, emailed, and tweeted your comments. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week when we look at film incentives in North Carolina. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison, producer Ken Campbell, associate producer Lindsay McGrath. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.